All right. Thank you, Patrick, for that prayer, and Dan, thank you very much. I had roast beef. There were ducks in the roast beef. Did you get a good prize? All right. Very good. Very good. They've all got them. All right. All right. That's a large prize, actually. Yeah. Good deal.
I got a yo-yo that keeps coming back.
A yo-yo that keeps coming back. They'll do that, won't they? We're going to be under leadership habits. If you want to turn to that place in your notes, I'm going to ask you a question about street smarts. And just ask you what you've learned as a leader. I was telling somebody a while ago, once a month I preach for a church outside of Memphis at the near the if any of you have military backgrounds, it's at the old naval at the old Navy base in Millington. This is a church that's half African American, half white, and half the elders are African American, half white. And I've been there. I go once a month. Have been there almost 2 years now, and preach. And it is a very, very sweet group. But one thing I thought about not long ago is that in preaching, you're doing a whole lot more than just giving Bible lessons, but there is a sense in which there is a lot of leadership involved in what you preach and what you're actually doing as you preach. And a lot of that is a lot of that can be learned, okay, through study and all and that sort of thing. And I mean, obviously, I work for a school that trains ministers and other kinds of Christian servants, so I obviously value that. But there's a whole lot of learning that can be gained through your experience. Now, just because a person has experience, as you know, doesn't mean they've learned much. right? I mean, but a person can learn a lot through gaining experiences. Well, what I refer to as street smarts are experiences that we've had where we feel like we've learned something, okay? And what I'm going to ask you to do for a few minutes is to give us some street smarts for leadership that you've learned. I'm going to start with a few. And some of these you may want to write down. I have no idea what anybody's going to say. But I'll tell you, if you've been serving in these roles for any amount of time, you've learned something. All right, I'll give you a few. These are some street smarts for serving in churches in leadership roles. Think long and hard before you make that announcement. Okay? In other words, be very careful about a rush to the podium to make a quick announcement when it really ought to be thought through. Here's another street smart. When talking to someone about their marriage issues, remember you're only hearing part of that story. When talking with someone about their marriage issues, you're only hearing part of that story. I'll give you a third one. A third one might be when someone seems to make a mistake, ask for clarification instead of immediately going on the attack. It could be that they were just misunderstood. Now, what are some street smarts you've learned? Yes, sir.
There's one version that you hear, there's the other version you hear, and then there's...
Okay, there's actually three versions to the story. Excellent. Somebody else.
Never ask a lady.
Never ask a lady if she's expecting. All right. Yes, sir.
Never ask her when the baby's due.
Never ask her when the baby's due. Okay. Yes, sir.
That calls us children for a reason.
God calls his children for a reason? Somebody else?
Things aren't always what they seem.
Things aren't always what they seem. He's very good, y'all. He's good. Yes, sir.
Mistakes are just your instructors or your teacher. We're making mistakes or a lot of times failure.
Okay. Mistakes can actually be your instructor. Okay. Yes, sir.
God doesn't have grandchildren.
God doesn't have grandchildren. Yes, sir. Street smarts.
Always try to get it right rather than be right.
Always try to get it right rather than be right. Okay.
Serve to survive.
Serve to survive. Not sure who said that, but yeah. Okay. Somebody else? Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah, if you don't have time to do it right the first time, you're going to have time to do it right again. Yeah. What else?
Sometimes the student can teach the teacher.
Yes, sir.
Things are never as good as they seem. Things are never as bad as they seem.
Very good. Never as good nor as bad as they seem. Yeah.
Don't be a know-it-all.
Don't be a know-it-all. This is very good. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, a lot to that, yeah. Yes, sir?
Problem's not a problem, just an opportunity for a solution.
Problem's not a problem, an opportunity for a solution. Yeah, yeah. You got one more you want to finish with? Yes, sir. Here. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I would add one to this in closing, and that is once you serve as in a leadership role, you don't know any more than you did yesterday. Being a preacher doesn't mean you suddenly have all this knowledge of everything. Being an elder doesn't mean you suddenly know all about everything. You're the same person as you were. Now, hopefully you continue to learn. Hopefully we all do. But it's okay to say, I don't know. I've never experienced that. I'll have to look into that. I have no idea. Anyway. Under leadership habits, cultivate street smarts. And one of the things, as a group, it would be helpful to do periodically as you go through situations together, to be able to talk as a group, to say, a group, what are we learning from this situation? You know, and what you could say, well, you can't always depend on what people say. But in terms of our own functioning, We might we've learned from this situation. Let's don't be too quick to assume we know the whole story before we've done our homework. But periodically, if we can ask ourselves, and so as a group, we can actually begin to grow and learn in street smarts. Here's a second one. Give it 5 minutes. Give it 5 minutes. This comes from Jason Fried, who is a tech guy. Some of y'all that are familiar with this, the online deal, Basecamp, he's an originator of that. Jason Fry was telling about, I think it was him, I know he was telling the story, but it's either about him or someone else. There was a speaker, and it may have been, actually he was the one that did this, I think. He was hearing a speaker one day, and he said the speaker made this presentation, and he said he made his way to the front of the auditorium and walked up to the speaker and immediately said, I totally disagree with what you just said. And this guy looked at him and said, can you give it 5 minutes? I haven't even stopped speaking I just stopped, and you're right here disagreeing. Can you give it 5 minutes? Oh, that's good. That there is great value in taking a few moments to just think about what was said before I immediately start talking. To just give it 5 minutes to reflect on that. I got a note. I told you I got a text a while ago from an elder, and we're in a conversation about a situation at their church. He said, I would like to get some input. And so I told him, I need to give this some thought, and I'll get back with you. I'll get back with him probably tomorrow. Because I don't need to just respond immediately. Especially when it's important and it's worthy of some thought. Give it 5 minutes. I thought that was really good. Because I have found myself, when I've heard someone talk, to immediately want to charge in and disagree, or charge in and add to it, when I actually need to think about this, as he says, for 5 minutes before I start talking. Here's a third one under leadership habits. Choose your battles well. Choose your battles well. You know, not everything's worth a big fight, is it? I mean, you know, if we're going to go to the mat, I'd like to go to the mat for something that really matters. Just talking to this very, very fine young minister the other day, and he was disturbed about something. And I asked him this question. I said, is this a hill you're ready to die on? Because if it is, then okay. But if it's not, then let's talk about what to do. Some hills are worth dying on. I'll die on some hills. Not everything. You say, well, what if I disagree? Not every hill is of equal, you know. Jesus said there were weightier matters of the law. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and following, that he spoke to them about matters of first importance, which indicates that some things may have second and third importance. The first importance in that case being the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I want to choose my battles. And that's one reason for giving it 5 minutes. I may want to just kind of back off that thing and think through just how important is this? How important is this? Some of y'all know raising children, you have to choose your battles, don't you? I remember one of ours got her ears pierced. That's fine. And she wanted another one, another hole in her ear. I told Charlotte, why is she getting another one? Another one. And we've got two holes now. Two holes in the ear, and got these, you know, and Charlotte was just so calm, and she said, in the larger scheme of things, does this matter all that much? Same thing. Choose your hill. And fortunately, I backed away from that one, but because it didn't matter that much. I got to choose my battles. You know, it's kind of like yelling fire every time you see a spark. After a while, folks don't listen much anymore. And I'm telling you, there are churches where preachers and elders, you know, they're ready to go to the mat every week, and it just wears people out. I mean, if every week is a crisis, I want to choose those. I want to choose those well. Well, finally, I want to do what I can as a leader to cultivate a positive, God-centered culture in our, among our leaders. A positive, God-centered culture among our leaders. Churches have cultures, and so do leaderships, leadership groups, you know. We have a certain way of doing things. If you become an elder, one of the things that the other elders may tell you is, now, this is the way we typically do this. That's fine. It's just good to know what it is. But churches, leadership groups have certain cultures. One of the things we might want to ask occasionally, and I kind of alluded to this earlier, is this a culture that is healthy and is forward-thinking and that emphasizes what God is doing? Or is this a culture that seems to thrive on chaos and the negative and putting out fires? And I think we may have to do some things intentionally, you know, if we don't want to go to the latter. Okay? That's just a little bit about leadership culture there. Okay. Anything among those remarks that might be, that were helpful?
As opposed to what? The culture as opposed to what kind of centered culture?
Can you give us any kind of culture? Yeah. We can have a group of people or a leadership group which basically focuses on what we lack, what we don't have, and what is diminished. And that becomes just what we are always talking about. Or we can have a leadership group which we recognize those things. It's not that we got our head in the sand. But we emphasize our God and our riches and the power of God working among us. And it is over and over and over. We continue to talk about that and believe that. When our folks come together, you thought about what, I mean, sure, I'm sure you have. You thought about what folks go through during the week? I mean, it is just amazing some of them are present on Sunday morning. Wow. And some of these people, they're living some pretty smooth lives. They're in the recliner of life, and all they have to do is shift the gear, and it goes back, goes up, and that's kind of life for them. A whole bunch of us aren't living that way. Our folks come together on a Sunday morning and they desperately need to be loved and reminded of how good and powerful God is. I remember one Sunday looking at this group over here. And all this happened within seconds, but I'm just kind of sweeping my eyes across this, you know. I'm looking at a couple of high school kids, and I thought, it's 10 o'clock. These kids were having sex with one another 12 hours ago. I looked at the back over there on the left. They had to call their They called the police the other night when daddy and daughter got in a big fight. This is Saturday night. Called the police. Police are out there breaking up their big fuss. And here they are, and I'm about to preach. I looked at this couple over here. Their oldest son is in jail. They think it's a secret. They want to keep it a secret. Of course, everybody knows. And they just feel so defeated. Look over here. Here's wonderful couples, wonderful grandparents. Here's this couple. He's a jerk and treats her so rough. And they're together now. I mean, they're here in this one assembly. Who's smart enough to know what to do? Who's wise enough to know what to say? I'm not. So as a leadership culture, we are wanting to keep alive in our little leadership culture. God is alive. God gives us His riches. God, we experience His power, because when we come into that assembly through conversation, through our preaching, through our remark, we want to give hope to these people. And to remind them again that we can persevere, and we can do this by the grace and the power of God. But we got to stay together, and we got to remember that it's not up to us, that He is with us, and He's greater than the one who is in the world. And God is using you and me to be the catalyst for doing this with these people. And that's what I'm talking about about culture. We will either be on our game, reminding each other as leaders and reminding the church of the riches and the power of God, or we'll just have nothing to offer. And that's what they get from the world. And here's the good news. By the grace of God and in His power, we can do this. You can do this. It is not up to you. God is working through His church and through you as a group of leaders. And that's good news. And they sense that hope. These folks that are barely hanging on sense that hope when they talk with you in conversation. You're not even trying to do anything to them. You're just being living Christ in you. And the tone of those sermons, assemblies. So anyway, that's more than you ever wanted to ask for. But that's kind of what I meant. Something that was helpful in the leadership part here. Okay. Very good, very good. Somebody else, yes, sir.
But I think there's a time and place for disagreement. If you have individuals who, let's say you've said something this morning that I disagree with.
Yeah.
Which may or may not have happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And I give you your 5 minutes, and I want to have this conversation with you.
Absolutely.
I want to approach you in such a way as, I love God, I love you. I want you to be better, I want me to be better, and you're approaching that conversation in the same way, and we're reasoning together in our disagreement. Mm-hmm. There's a time and a place for it when the attitude is right. As we're growing in the Lord together as brothers, sometimes we get in our heads that you should never disagree with your brother.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case. There are those moments where, because the reality of life is, we're not always going to see eye to eye on what Hosea 12 and verse 1 means. And we will have these discussions. We may walk apart from each other, not changing anybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't think disagreement is always negative. And if we view it that way, I think that we probably need to shift our thought.
Yeah, you make a real good point. In fact, one of the things that kind of gets at some of us in churches right now is that we don't know how to have a conversation where we disagree. So we just avoid it because what it often has turned into is either cutoff or enmeshment. Either we all kind of, we're all doing groupthink, or we're over here just ready to dispose of people because they differ with me. I appreciate you saying that. That was very helpful. I might think of it this way, though. In terms of disagreements, I have to think about where does this range in terms of importance? Because it's going to say something about what I put into it. If my wife and I disagree about where we want to go out to eat, she wants to go back to that little steak place up the road again. And I'm thinking, oh, man. And then, because I've been thinking all, you know, that is not worth, that's worth nothing to me. I can go eat the other tomorrow. I'm only going to be with her this Friday night. I can, you know. And there's some things like that. They're just not worth. Other things, though, that may be fairly important, or they matter in some way. And then the question is, so how do I have that kind of discussion so that I do like my friend Bill, whatever I called him, Jack did, where he was dealing with a person he differed with, but yet they became very good friends. Does that make any sense? So I'm trying to agree with you. You're exactly right. There is a time to talk about things that you differ with, and then to be able to ask the question, what do we do now? And that asking that question will depend on what you're talking about and the level of importance that it is. Thank you. That's helpful.
On that same matter, give it 5 minutes. I also look at it, not at the differences, but if a brother or sister comes up to you and they have a problem, an issue, you know, you always thought, oh, I can't give an answer right away. Now, take 5 minutes, step aside, say, I got to think this out. I can't, you know,
that's exactly right. In fact, when somebody talks to you about something like, and it's pretty, maybe there's a lot of seriousness to it, you know, that to be able to say, oh my goodness, this is pretty important. I'm going to have to give this some thought and prayer, and I'll get back with you. It's too valuable for me to just give an off-the-cuff answer. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Dan?
Another thing on giving 5 minutes. I love that.
Yeah.
Spencer Burby gave a meeting, and he was talking about social media and making comments. I can't tell you how many times I've said something I wish I hadn't said, mm-hmm. or written something I wish I hadn't written. Spencer made a good point when he said, never miss the opportunity to say nothing.
Yeah.
It's a godly principle.
Yeah. Very good. Never miss the opportunity to say nothing. Yeah.
I got a question.
Yes, sir.
See if whether you observe this or not, but I think a lot of things get dumped on the elders that could be solved as individual cases among members. Do you see that at all?
Oh, yeah. Yes. A lot of things get dumped on the elders that could, Yeah, in fact, I think one of the things that we could do as elders occasionally, depending on the situation, but we could say, I want to show you how to do this. And this is what you need to do with this person. And here's what, because some people, they just don't know any better. They don't know how to do it. There are other people, they would rather not put themselves at risk, but they don't mind putting you at risk. Right. And it kind of depends on who we're talking about. But yeah. Well, I'll wait. I was going to say something, but I'm going to hold that until a few minutes. Somebody, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I'm done.
Okay, okay. Somebody else? Yes, sir. Very good. Very good. Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Yeah. Yes, sir.
On that same point, the cultivating not positive culture. I think one of the things that I've learned as an elder is that even though we're working on issues, it's important to let the congregation know that something is being done.
Yes.
Because it's balancing the need for privacy.
Mm-hmm.
If we go too far the other direction, then we hurt the relationship. And so yeah. I discovered that it's important to say, this is what's going on. We need your prayers in this area.
Mm-hmm.
Know that we are talking to this mm-hmm. person, and we're working with them, keeping them in prayer. Mm-hmm. And it's been helpful. That mm-hmm. way.
That's very good. That's very good. I like that. Somebody else? Yeah, sure.
The reality is you really need to tell them they're barking up the wrong tree, so to speak. You know, and that can be very difficult without, and to be, because some folks don't accept that very well.
Yeah.
You know, even though you want to.
Yeah.
And sometimes transitioning their point of view from that,
yeah.
And to be sensitive to their needs, and you want to go through all the, you want to engage in the listening process and try to, you know, gather the information. But sometimes it's so obvious from the get-go that they're going down the wrong path with this, and that can be.
Yeah. Let me wrap up this before we take a break, because I like what we've just done. You know, serving these in these roles, this is really hard. We deal with things sometimes that we have to talk through disagreements. We deal with things sometimes where we know people are not going to like what they hear. We deal with things sometimes where we feel like we're walking a tightrope. Sometimes we're just dealing with these heartbreaking, wrenching situations. Sometimes it's like, you know, you're getting blamed for something you had nothing to do with. All of this, all of this just illustrates the reason why we have just got to be very intentional about keeping a God focus. And when I use the word positive, I don't mean head in the sand, avoid conversation, avoid dealing with these people, avoid, not talking about that kind of thing at all. That's not leadership. Leadership, though, is where, in spite of this mess, you can set a tone. In spite of the mess that you're trying to deal with, you can set a tone. Otherwise, it begins to set the tone for you. And I don't think we want that, because it's usually pretty negative. That's all I'm trying to say when I talk about culture. So let's take a break. 10 minutes, is that okay?